The world will want you to try to assert your position, to estimate your value, and to put yourself up over others. But the writer to the Hebrews, this writer reminds us, we follow Christ. And if God can lower himself to such depth, to make us holy, to make us his own, how could we, as his own, his people made holy by his blood, not desire to follow him, to bear the disgrace that he bore, to let the world mock us, to let the world look down on us, to let the world consider us foolish and say, he trusts in God, let God deliver him. Because we know he will.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. April 3rd, 2026. Hebrews 13:11-14.
This evening as we gather, we once again look at how the Lord has us ascend into his presence. We saw, as we looked at God, inviting us to ascend the mountain of the Lord, to approach his holy place, as Jesus, the Son of God, opened the way. He's the one who opened the gates to heaven. He's the one who came to atone in the most holy place for our sins. And then last night we saw how God initiated that fellowship with his people at the foot of Mount Sinai. And they had that meal and they dined and that fellowship offering. They ate the sacrifice and they saw God. But how Christ, our Lord, the Son of God, dined with his disciples and gave them that meal, his body and blood, and they ate of that fellowship offering and they saw God. A covenant sealed, welcomed into the presence of God. And now tonight, we take one more ascent. And this ascent is not so much an ascent. No, it's actually, as we briefly consider the message in God's word from the writer to the Hebrews, it's really a descent first. We descend with Christ. The writer to the Hebrews points out that what took place as Jesus went to the cross was not just him climbing up, but really him going outside of the city. You see, Jesus is, of course, tied to the Passover sacrifice, but he's also tied to the great Day of Atonement, in which a lamb would have the sin of the people placed on it, and it would be sent out, the scapegoat it's called. And also the blood of bulls and goats were offered up year after year on the sacrifice of the great Day of Atonement in the most holy place. They would go where people were not allowed to go, past the curtain guarded and protected into the most holy place. And there they would offer up the blood once a year to atone for the sins of the people. But then you have to ask, what did they do with the lamb? The lamb was burnt outside the camp because it bore disgrace and it bore the sins of the people. The body was discarded. When we look at the word of our God, the writer to the Hebrews tells us the connection to Christ. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. The scene that we'll look at as we consider the words of the cross is the Son of God lowering himself as he takes on the sin of the world, bearing your disgrace, bearing my disgrace, the sins of all his people, of all this world. And he bore such shame that the only suitable path was what God had chosen, that he would be tortured and executed as an outcast, a criminal, mocked and rejected by his own people, abandoned and forsaken by all, even by God. And he did this to make the people holy. Tonight we praise him for his great sacrifice, his love immeasurable. And the writer to Hebrews goes on, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. We are invited in our life to follow Christ. The world will want you to try to assert your position, to estimate your value, and to put yourself up over others. But the writer to the Hebrews, this writer reminds us, we follow Christ. And if God can lower himself to such depth, to make us holy, to make us his own, How could we, as his own, his people made holy by his blood, not desire to follow him, to bear the disgrace that he bore, to let the world mock us, to let the world look down on us, to let the world consider us foolish and say, he trusts in God, let God deliver him? Because we know he will. The Lord will deliver us, just as he rose his son to life. And we will have something more than just a descent as we face disgrace in this life and follow Christ. We read on, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Let me invite you to one more ascent. Ascending the mountain of the Lord is not something we find in this life, but we will join with our King, the King of the world, who was crucified and came as King of the Jews. We will live with him in his everlasting city as we once and for all ascend the mountain of the Lord, the city that is to come, the heavenly Jerusalem, where Christ reigns on his throne, no longer bearing disgrace, but glory everlasting, because he tasted death for us all.
Hi, this is Tom Barthel, pastor at Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Pretty soon, Christians from all across the world will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. Leading up to that, we'll be looking at the night that he was betrayed and the events leading up to his crucifixion and death. I invite you to listen along as we share those words. You can find this account recorded in Matthew chapter 27. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people reached the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he began to feel regret. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders and said, "I've sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? That is your problem." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It's not lawful to put these into the treasury since it is blood money." They reached a decision. They met and decided to buy the potter's field with the money as a burial place for foreigners. So that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price the sons of Israel had set for him, and they gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord commanded me. When Jesus stood in the presence of the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Don't you hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him, not even one word, so that the governor was very surprised. At the time of the feast, the governor had a custom to release one prisoner to the crowd, whoever they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they were assembled, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate, in fact, knew they had handed Jesus over to him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent him a message. She said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, because I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus put to death. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him." But the governor said, "Why? What crime has he done?" But they kept shouting even louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, and that instead it was turning into a riot, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility." And all the people answered, "His blood will be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff and hit him repeatedly on his head. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out of the city, they found a man from Cyrene named Simon. They forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. After they had crucified him, they divided his clothing among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and were keeping watch over him there. Above his head they posted the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At the same time, two criminals were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. People who passed by kept insulting him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, experts in the law, and elders kept mocking him. They said, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him, because he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, even the criminals who were crucified with him kept insulting him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. That is, from noon to 3. About the ninth hour, 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "This fellow is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran, took a sponge, and soaked it with vinegar. Then he put it on a stick and gave it him to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." Once more, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split. Tombs were opened, and many bodies of saints that had fallen asleep were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus with him saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and who had served him were there watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered that the body be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb that he had cut in the rock. He rolled a large stone over the tomb's entrance and left. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. I invite you to join with me as I pray. Lord Jesus, you were rejected by your own people. But more than that, Lord, we know you remained silent on trial and did not turn aside from the cross, because you faced this fulfilling prophecy as the atoning sacrifice for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. Help me to meditate on this as I look forward to celebrating your resurrection. Amen. Join with me and all Christians as we meditate on the death and the price paid by the Son of God, and as we celebrate the joy of the resurrection, our sins paid for, and victory over the grave. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor of Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus. I invite you to join with me as I pray. Lord God, there are many times when I fail to remember your word, what you have shared, and the promises you have given. And as a result, at times I find myself surprised, realizing your gracious working and your good plan is always kept. Help me to trust that you conquered the grave, just as you said, that I might have confidence in your working now and all eternity. I pray this be done for me by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus, my risen Lord, your Son, my Savior. Amen. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, we'll read from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's where Matthew's gospel concludes. As we look at this account and we compare it with the other three gospels, we see Matthew kind of jumps forward through certain events to summarize. The woman evidently appeared sometime after the angel had rolled the stone away, and Matthew doesn't record the fact that later on, Jesus appeared also first to Mary Magdalene, as the other woman went to tell the disciples. The events together, we can see fear and we see doubt. Even though God had told them that he would rise, even though Jesus had said he would conquer the grave, they still walked about in fear and doubt. When the angel spoke to the woman, notice what he said. He said, "He is not here, he has risen." And the angel made clear this was just as Jesus had said. We have the promises and word of God. Think of all the things that God has told us he has done and will do. God says he has taken away our sin by the atoning sacrifice of his Son on the cross. God says that we are at peace with him and forgiven. God says all these things, and yet there are times when his people waver or just simply really don't live as if that were true. When the disciples gathered and they finally saw Jesus, it says they worshipped him. They knew who he was, the true Son of God, our Lord, the I Am, risen from the grave, victorious over death. And yet it says some doubted. The scriptures don't sugarcoat the reaction and the response. There were those who devised lies, trying to cover up the resurrection. And we see how ridiculous that is, that Roman soldiers would have somehow fallen asleep. And also there are those who simply doubted. We read in John's gospel a more detailed account how even one of the 12 had doubted. But this all the more confirms and all the more helps us see God is gracious with us. His working, his plan is too good to be true. And that's why he gives us his word. We have the same thing that the disciples had before they saw Jesus alive. And it's by that word and promise of God that we hear Jesus has risen and conquered the grave. And it's by that word and the promise of God we hear that we too will rise. And it's with the word of God that the living Jesus sends his church saying, "Make disciples by baptizing and by teaching." And it's the living Jesus who promises us by his word I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Join with me and all Christians as we celebrate our risen and living Lord, carrying out his mission to this world to teach and baptize all nations, to proclaim that God keeps his word, conquers the grave, and will give us everlasting life. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor of Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus.